global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks higher, NASDAQ advancing for a fifth session, and this update is brought to you by Untuck It. Think your shirt is too long to wear untucked? It probably is. Untuck It has solved this, making shirts designed to be worn untucked. Visit untuckit.com and use code WBBR for 15% off to improve your wardrobe. The NASDAQ Composite Index poised for the longest rally in 11 months as drug makers surge in light trading, while travel-related shares sank in response to deadly terrorist attacks in Brussels. S&P 500 Index up 3 points now to 2,055, a gain of 0.2%. NASDAQ up 22 points to 4,831, a gain there of 0.5%. Dow Industrials up 12 points, a gain of 0.1%. Tenure down 4/32, the yield 1.93%. And this data check brought to you by CIT. From transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. Gold up 320 the ounce to 1247.40, a gain of 0.3%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
More than 30 people have been killed, hundreds wounded, as Islamic State claims responsibility for an airport and a metro bombing in Brussels. The news doesn't necessarily change. Ambassador Zal Khalilzad is the author of The Envoy, From Kabul to the White House, My Journey Through a Turbulent World. And he joins us now. Ambassador, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's very nice to be with you on this sad day.
Yes. Let's start there. Your reaction to the events in Brussels. And are we missing something? Do we need to understand something larger about what has happened?
Well, it shows that the threat from Islamic terrorists is increasing, particularly in Europe, where lots of refugees from the war in Syria have come in. Some of them are infiltrated, likely, by the terrorists. There is, broadly speaking, a crisis of Islamic civilization. Islam saw itself, and many Muslims saw it, as the perfect religion, the ultimate religion, the last religion. And it was on the march for a long time. It was a center of education and innovation. But then, for the last several centuries, it has been on the decline. And this had led to a big conflict inside Islam as to what went wrong and what should be done about it. And one element, one school of thought, one branch has argued that the problem of the decline of Islamic civilization is that Muslims have moved away from Islam and the West has gained too much influence. The West is responsible for this decline. And therefore, they are taking the war, the conflict, to the West. In order for Islam to thrive, to succeed, the West must come down. And until this crisis is resolved, that they come to a reasoned understanding of what their problems are and what is the solution, the world is confronted with this challenge. We need to be prepared to protect ourselves, be more vigilant, that homeland security becomes even more important than before as this problem grows. But fundamentally, the essence, the source of this problem is this. Of course, there are immediate issues that have affected it. You can talk about Syria as the most immediate cause, the conflict in Iraq, the rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia, the sectarian issues. All of these are factors, but at the very base of the problem, and I try to explain it, in the book. The roots of this rage, this crisis, is this civilizational crisis within Islam.
And that's what you posit in the very first part of your book. And of course, you speak with great authority. You were the former U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, Iraq, and the U.N. You grew up in a traditional family in Afghanistan. You, in fact, were the highest-ranking Muslim to ever serve in a U.S. administration. Again, so you bring a lot to bear on this question. You also speak in your book about avoidable mistakes. What is the number one avoidable mistake that the U.S. has committed?
Well, I think that post-war planning and execution in Iraq was one such mistake. After we went in, and I know people differ as to the wisdom of whether we should have gone into Iraq or not, based on the intelligence at that time, the belief was that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and in the aftermath of 9/11, that was seen to be too dangerous. But after going in, I think the big mistake was to dissolve the Iraqi army and to do deep, deep pacification. Here were hundreds of thousands of people who knew how to use arms, who had experience in fighting, they were disenfranchised. They did not get their salary. They lost their positions of influence. They became hostile and angry with us. And the vacuum that was created, especially as we were not willing to police Iraq and have enough forces to do the job, that led to the conflict inside Iraq that it took us a long time to recover from, with the surge in finally in 2006-2007, we brought the situation under control. But by then, Iraq had done a lot of damage to support for what we were doing there in the United States. So President Obama came in reflecting the popular attitude that we should not be there, we have no business being there, and we prematurely, in my view, withdrew. So we had some mistakes at the beginning, and we made some mistakes at the end. That's one of the avoidable mistakes, in my view.
The book opens with a short preface, and you are flying in a C-17 military aircraft. You are leaving Afghanistan. Tell us about your relationship with Afghanistan. You were born there, yes. Came to the United States in 1966.
Right.
Tell us a little bit of your history and how that trip kind of almost ended an emotional moment for you.
Right. Of course, I was born in northern Afghanistan in a place called Mazar-e-Sharif, near an ancient city called Balkh, and that in the Middle Ages was called the mother of all cities. There's a lesson there for us, because you know, you can be doing extremely well at one point, but then if you don't nurture that, you don't do the right thing to keep yourself going. When you're at the top, you get fat and lazy. Others who want to do better tend to be more aggressive. And so Balkh, where Rumi was born, where it was a center of
the great Sufi
Muslim, but the quietest Sufi Muslim, as I said before, the big struggle is within Islam itself with different schools. But over time, this city of civilization, of gardens, of poets, of universities, of innovation, was overrun by several conquerors, one after the other. You go back to Alexander the Great, then he established a kingdom of Bactria right there, and then Genghis Khan destroyed that city. But it was a peaceful, small town of 50,000. I remember spring there, like today, the second day of spring. Many Afghans and Iranians and others yesterday celebrated their new year called Nowruz. And the whole city used to be red with poppy flower, the red poppy flower growing wild all over the place. poor at that time, no electricity, no running water, no telephone, no buses. You had to go on horse-drawn carriages in a smaller town outside where I lived for a while, outside of Mazar-e-Sharif. I used to go to school on a horse. I then came to Kabul when I was 13 years old. Kabul was a city of 500,000, the capital of Afghanistan at that time. And I thought, wow, this is a cosmopolitan place. And within a couple of years, I was selected by a program that's headquartered here in New York called the American Field Service to come and spend a year in the United States. And that's what that sort of changed my world, so to speak. Then I came, of course, back to Afghanistan, back to the U.S.
So you've just gotten a taste of a new book by Zal Khalilzad. It's called The Envoy, From Kabul to the White House, My Journey Through a Turbulent World. He's the former U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, Iraq, and the U.N. He also talks a bit about avoidable mistakes for the U.S. when it comes to terrorism. This is Bloomberg Radio.